Sometimes I wonder if the president just sits there in his bedroom or in the Oval Office, wherever he may be, and he just sits there and he decides, hey, guys, watch this. And he sends out a tweet. And just to watch the whole world go crazy, right? Watch CNN and the others just spin out of control. All part of him stirring the pot in the culture wars. You just have to wonder, is that what he does sometimes? My next guest, Richard, are we there? Richard Manning, a president of the Americans for Limited Government. Just checking, Richard. We had a couple of things we had to overcome there. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Now, you have a new book you put together with Star Parker, correct? Necessary Noise, How Donald Trump Inflames the Culture War and Why This Is Good News for America. I mean, so many people dislike the president, Richard. But I wonder, sometimes I think he just says, hey, guys, watch this. And he sends out a tweet or he does whatever. Why is that good for America?
Well, because we're having a conversation that we otherwise wouldn't have. We've seen our country over the course of the last at least 20 years slide just gradually into accepting things that never would have been acceptable on a whole variety of different topics. And it was largely because we decided we couldn't talk about these things in polite company because we were trying to avoid conflict. The fact is the left continued moving the culture to the left, and nobody on the right was really – we weren't pushing back the way we should have. And what President Trump did is he basically said, you know, political correctness is out the door. I'm going to start having a conversation, start forcing a conversation.
Yeah, what we tolerate.
To argue that President Trump is a culture warrior because he's not. But he's created a conversation or a culture that's necessary for us to have because otherwise we were slipping into a world that was unrecognizable.
Well, I mean, I've said it on this program many times. What we tolerate, you and I, Richard, what we tolerate, our kids and grandkids will embrace. That's the problem. We say, you know what? We're going to just not say anything. We'll let them do their thing, the left, and we won't, you know, make waves. We'll just go along to get along. And then all of a sudden, we have a generation of kids who think the First Amendment is a bad idea. I mean, that's what I mean. You ask young people, 60% of young people think the First Amendment should not cover things that people find offensive. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Well, it is unbelievable, and the fact is that, you know, I think all your listeners know the First Amendment was created specifically to protect things that people would consider offensive, and secondly, it was created to force, to allow for political discourse, regardless of how uncomfortable that discourse might be. The very essence of the First Amendment was a political sense of having to have a real disagreement, an ability to have a fight, verbal fight, about what the direction of the country should be without censorship by the government. And yet a lot of the younger generation believes that they want Big Brother to censor what they can hear so they don't have to curl up in a fetal ball under duress of having a basic premise that they have that's wrong.
How do we raise such wimps? A serious question, Richard. Richard Manning here. How do we raise such wimps that are so offended and they think that words are weapons and they're just crushed and they can't function, Richard, and they got to have a safe space in Plato. I mean, seriously, get it together, people.
Public school system.
Right, the union schools.
And the teachers union and the left took over the school boards. And so we ended up with a system, and then we allowed for Common Core to come into place, which takes critical thinking out of it.
But the problem is this. The staunchest defenders of the freedom of speech and the freedom to practice religion and all of these things. At one time in my lifetime, not that long ago, I'm not that old, were the Democrats, the liberals, defended the freedom of speech, your right to express yourself, and now it is the polar opposite. How did that occur?
The Democrats started losing elections. And so they needed to change the discourse. They needed to change what was acceptable. And so they embarked on a campaign of shaming anybody who didn't agree with them. And it's been a campaign they've had for at least a decade. It was actually Obama administration policy to try to shame employers at the Labor Department, to shame employers into doing, quote unquote, the right thing, not what's the legal thing, but what they deemed to be the right thing. It was actually in one of their foundational documents when they first came in to the Labor Department back in 2009. So shaming, they embarrass you. They say, you know, you can't do this. They call you names. And so you sit back and you say, well, it's not worth it.
Well, Richard,
and
let me ask you this.
Eventually, over time, you discover that it really was worth it, but you can't go back in time.
But let me ask you this, Richard. Today, we begin impeachment week. The circus rolls out of the dungeon in the basement of the Capitol and on display for all to see, apparently. Of course, the Republicans can't have the witnesses they want. They've been denied. But when you talk about this culture war and the Democrats losing elections, and they had to do something, and so now they're attacking the Constitution and the foundational principles of this country in some places all over. Is that part of what we're seeing today? Is that why we have this impeachment proceeding, is because the Democrats have to stake their flag somewhere?
Yes, that's exactly right. Their policies don't win. Their policies are rejected by and large. The policies of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are the majority of Americans don't want them. So what they have to do is they have to take down President Trump, because if they don't take down President Trump, they will face a dismantlement of about 20 years worth of work over the last 4 years of his presidency. So that's why they have to make this impeachment work. And by the way, in terms of it being a sham, let me just say, I think it's really important. The rules that Adam Schiff set up basically make it so you can't ask witnesses about anything that deals with the 2016 in the Ukraine, which was the first part of what President Trump was talking about in his call. And you can't ask him about Biden and Burisma, which was the second part of the call, which actually President Zelensky brought up.
Doesn't make any sense, Richard.
The rules of this committee are you can't ask about anything that Donald Trump was talking about in the call.
Right. And why would we want to know about that anyway?
Because what Adam Schiff said, you know, the narrative he created, the false narrative of what the call said.
Richard,
so
we got to leave it there.
The only thing we can discuss and talk about in this impeachment is what Adam Schiff, the fantasy
what he says
call
is
that Adam Schiff made
right.
up.
Richard Manning, the book is Necessary Noise, How Donald Trump Inflames the Culture War and Why This is Good News for America. It's on the shelves as of today. Richard, thank you so much for being here. We'll have you back soon.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
There you have it. It's the Steve Gerber Show.